to praise Him for.
Amen.
That's the difference between a victorious Christian and a non-victorious Christian. A victorious Christian goes through them, through trials, through tribulations, through storms. I didn't say storms didn't come to them, but they go through them. They go through them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is good. You got anything else on your heart, brother? Okay. God's good. Y'all can be seated. God is just so good. Where are we going tonight, Brother Sean? I don't know. We're going to wait on the Lord.
Thanks, Mom.
This ain't my service. This is His service. Y'all should know that about me by now. But Brother Venables kind of designated these revival services. So I just want to let the Spirit of the Lord do what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do, because without the Spirit doing it, I can't change anybody, but I know God can. God's Spirit can change anybody. Hallelujah. God's Spirit can change anybody that wants to be changed. Father, I thank You for this evening. Father, we're just going to wait for a few moments in Your presence, because You're here. You're here in such a sweet, sweet way. You're just so good to us, Abba Father. And Father, I just want You to have Your way. Father, I just want You to have Your way in this place tonight. Holy Spirit, whatever needs changing in my life, in our lives, Father, change it. Father, rend us, O God. Create in us a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within us, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, have Your way in this place. Have Your way in this place, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God is just, the things God is doing behind the scenes, if we could see them, we would be astounded. Amen?
Yes.
We would be astounded. I mean, if we prayed a prayer and we could see God's Spirit go and move and see it go into action right then and there in the Spirit, you would be astounded. You would be astounded. Because God's Spirit is moving in this land. Despite what the world looks like, God is still on the move. God is still in control. I said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still in control. He's still on the throne. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm just waiting on the Holy Ghost. Y'all going to have to bear with me. Because I went in at 3:30 yesterday morning so I could go to that funeral. And I went home and I was pretty tired. But God is good. And God is gracious. Since this has kind of been designated Revive Us, I'm going to pick on my brother Jimmy, because he wore a shirt yesterday that said, America, repent. And it kind of inspired me. And you can tell him, Sister Kim, I'm not picking on him. He knows that. It inspired me because I love my brother. I love his stand for the truth. But at the same time, it's not America that needs to repent. It's the church that needs to repent. And I know that's controversial, but judgment does not begin in America. It begins in the house of God. So I'd like to get some shirts made that says the church needs to repent. Some pastors need to repent. Some churchgoers need to repent. Some church gossipers need to repent. I don't know why I said all that, but I'm going to read this out of 2 Chronicles 7:14, because I don't want to go away from what God is doing in this church, in this congregation, with this body of believers, because God is stirring us, my brother and sister. I don't know about you, but there'll be times I'll be driving down the road and I'll just sense the Spirit of the Lord, and He'll just lay somebody on my heart, and I'll just go to praying for them and weeping for them, because it's the Spirit of God praying for people through us. And let God use you however God wants to use you. When you're alone, I can be driving in my truck and there's all of a sudden the Spirit of God will hit me and I'll just begin to pray for somebody. Oh, Brother Sean, you're crazy. Well, I might be, but that's God. God's not obligated in just these four walls. Thank you for the amen. Paul said, what did our brother Paul say? He said, our body is the what? Is the temple of the Lord. So wherever our body goes, the house of God goes. This is just a place, my brother and sister, where we come and we dwell together in unity. But our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, according to Scripture. So if our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and God is omnipresent, then wherever we go, God goes. So we, His children and ambassadors, we need to act like God's children. Amen? Amen? Yes. Brother Sean, that's easier said than done. Yeah, I know, but that's why He gave us the Spirit. Amen. So we can be God's children, even when we don't want to be. I'm going through things at work, and I got to be God's child. Amen. When my boss is mean to me, I still got to be God's child. Yep. When I know it's the enemy, I got to be God's child. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I purposely go out of my way to be nice because I don't want bitterness to set in my soul. I don't want that thing inside of me. I don't want unforgiveness. Why? Because I don't want my prayers hindered. We just think we can just, oh, Jesus this and oh, Jesus that, and not live a sanctified, glorified life. No, we've got to live a sanctified life. We've got to live a holy life. We can't just, the Bible don't hear sinners. Jesus don't hear sinners according to the Bible. I know the only time Jesus will hear a sinner is when they repent. When they say, Jesus, forgive me. That's the only time God hears a sinner, according to the Word of God. If you want to challenge me on that, see me after church and we'll go in the Scripture. But according to the Bible, God doesn't hear sinners. Thank God He hears prodigals too. When the prodigal had to come home, didn't he? The father didn't go after the prodigal. The father left him alone. Left him alone. Let him stew. Let him just sit there and waller in the mud and in the mire with the pigs. Isn't it amazing how far sometimes we as Christians get so low and so down, and we let ourselves get so low before we just run to the Father's house, before we just run to Jesus? The Bible says the righteous run unto the Lord and they are safe. But see, sometimes we don't want to run to God. It's no different than Adam and Eve when they sinned. They ran away from God. They looked for leaves to cover them. Why? Because there's something about God's presence that knows I'm wrong with God. And something in the human nature doesn't always want to get right with God right away. But when we go to God, I'm glad God went looking for Adam. I'm glad there was a blood sacrifice. I'm glad God started something in the garden. I'm glad there was a lineage that runs down all the way through the book of John and through Acts and through Amos and through Malachi. I'm glad we have a heritage. I'm glad that Jesus came on the scene and went to the cross. I'm glad that He shed His blood and died for you and me so we can have eternal life. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I don't know why I said that, but we'll let the Lord sort all that stuff out. This is an interesting passage of Scripture because it doesn't say the Egypt people. It doesn't say Muhammad's people. It doesn't say the people of Baal. It says, if my people, and this is God speaking, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people, the Bible says in Malachi, return to me and I will return to you. It also says that in the book of Revelations. We need a return to God, not a return to church. We're the most churchy. I'm looking for a word, but it's okay. We're the most church organized society that I've ever seen in the 21st century. We've got more churches on every corner in the world and less power of God. We've got more churches and no power of God. It's something to be said. When we had tent meetings as I was growing up, we saw mighty manifestations of God's power and God's Spirit. We have churches on the corner, and yet we see no manifestation and no presence of God. Because God's people need to turn from their wicked way. And God's people need to pray. And God's people need to seek His face. It's an amazing thing. We got time to go on Facebook, but we don't have time to read the Word of God. And notice I'm looking down at my Bible because I don't want to see y'all's faces because y'all know I'm telling the truth. We've got time for everything else but seeking God. And there's a time under heaven for everything. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. And there's a time to seek God's face. And my brother and sister, if it's ever time to seek the face of God, it is now. If it's ever time to turn from our wicked ways, it is now. If it's ever time that we're going to live right to see our prayers answered, it is now. If it's ever time that we stop gossiping in the church and stop talking about the pastor, it is now. Because we need our prayers answered. How hypocritical is it of us if I come to this body of believers and I go to Brother Mike's house and I just talk bad about every single one of y'all? Is that not hypocritical? Would y'all want me up here ministering if I did that?
No.
Y'all wouldn't, would you? Well, I don't want y'all doing about me either. Just thought I'd say that. I'm just going to shoot to the truth because I grew up here. Yeah. I'm going to shoot straight because I love everybody. And I'm not afraid to. Because I want to see revival. I want to see your family members saved. And I want to see my family members saved. And I want to see my kids saved. Because we need revival in America and in the church. We need it to begin with us. So our kids need to see us living for Jesus. Our kids need to see us doing what the Scripture says that we need to do. If we need to forgive one another, we need to forgive one another, not make excuses or concessions, and just do what the Word of God says to do. Because this is the book that we should live by if we call ourselves Christians.
Amen.
Not the television preachers that y'all watch on TV, but the Bible.
Amen.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves... We American Christians don't always like to humble ourselves. We don't always like to admit that we're wrong. We don't always like to go to my brother if I've offended him and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? But that's what the Scripture says to do. But yet we want God to answer our prayers. But I don't want to go to Brother Willie and ask him to forgive me. Your prayers aren't going to get answered, my brother and sister. And we act like it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. It's a prayer answered or a prayer not answered big deal. So how big of a deal is it to you? Keep gossiping and you'll see. I'm just going to shoot straight. Keep talking bad about the church and you'll see. Your prayers won't get answered. Your kids won't get saved. And you'll go on in life wondering why. Wondering why. Wondering why isn't my prayer getting answered? Why isn't my husband coming saved? Why aren't my kids getting saved? Don't know why I got off on this, but the Holy Ghost must know. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We don't like to humble ourselves. We don't like to admit that we're wrong. I ain't gonna look at nobody. I'm gonna look at the Bible because we don't like to admit when we're wrong. I don't like to admit when I'm wrong. If I get mad at home and I get mad at the children, I know none of y'all do that. Sometimes I got to go home and I got to go to my children and apologize because I was wrong. Even though I'm their father, even though I'm the head of the house, that don't mean I'm always right. And that don't mean you're always right either. We got to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. I'm not asking you to live it Sean's way. I'm asking you to live it God's way. There's a difference. We got too many pretty boy preachers trying to tell you to live it their way. No, we need to live it God's way.
Amen.
God's way. There's only one way to live, and that's the way that Jesus wrote it out and God the Father wrote it out in this book.
Amen.
This is what we live by. Remember the old Sunday school song? Standing on the word, doing what I'm heard. It's so simple, but yet it's so profound. Why is it profound? Because we can't even enter into the kingdom of God unless we enter as a little child. And guess what? We get so spiritual, so Christian spiritual, we can't act like a child no more. We can't act like we're dependent on Jesus or the Holy Ghost. And guess what? We can't even enter into the kingdom of God unless we become as a little child.
Amen.
And God wants us to humble ourselves and be little children. God wants us to adore Him and Him to be our everything and Him to be our all in all and Him to supply all in all. And Him, we want God to take care of us. But we don't always want to take care of what His Word says. God makes His deposits in us, but we don't make our deposits for God. And this comes straight from the Holy Ghost, because I'm just going to tell you. God has our numbers because He wants to change us and He wants to send souls to this congregation. We all want to grow. Do we really? Ask yourself that. Don't look at me so high and pious. Ask yourself, do we as a congregation really want to grow? And I believe the answer is yes. But I also believe that there's some humbling that we all need to do. And I'll be the first to admit I need to. So I also think there's some praying that we need to do. And I also think there's some seeking God that we all need to do. And I even think there's some wicked ways in all of us that God needs to take care of. Because this is His Word. This ain't my Word. Isn't it profound that God would write in Chronicles many, many years ago about His own people getting backslidden in their heart? We can come to church till we're blue in the face. Doesn't mean our heart's living for Jesus. Doesn't mean we're right with God in our heart. The Bible says, who can ascend into the hill of the Lord but he that has clean hands and a pure heart? We want to go, we want to be a prayer warrior. We want to speak in tongues. We want to prophesy. But we don't want a clean heart. We don't want our hands cleansed of our brother's blood that we just talked about and gossiped about and ran their mud in the name, in the ground, just tore them to shreds to somebody. It's got to stop. I say it as loving as I can. It's got to stop. I've got to stop it. You've got to stop it. We've all got to live this thing for Jesus so our prayers will be answered. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about doing what's right for Him, my brother and sister. It's about turning and seeking our face for Him. Boy, it's quiet in here. Y'all were all excited during worship. Then God gets a hold of our number and just shoots straight and plain to us, and we don't always like it. But Jesus never minced words. Jesus never minced words. God is just, there's just, on Sunday nights, there's just such love here. And I even hated to read the scripture, but I got to obey the Lord. But this ain't a negative thing. If we look at it as a negative thing, it's going to be negative. But see, it's not negative because God always, when He addresses His people, He addresses them for a reason. He addresses them for a purpose. And we all know the purpose. We all know the radio ministry is flourishing. We all know that God is moving and God is touching people. But there are things in our lives that we have to change. Because God forbid that we get some new converts sitting right there. And I'm over there talking with Brother Willie. And I said, Brother Willie, do you believe what Michael did? I mean, just think about it. Hypothetically speaking, we got brand new Christians sitting in church, our church, that we want souls saved, right? We all want to grow. We all want to touch lives. And I'm over there talking to Brother Willie. Man, I just can't believe he did that. What is he thinking? I just don't understand it. That's not what we need to do as Christians. Hey, I've done it too, and I've had to repent. So don't look at me like I'm being so self-righteous, because I'm not. I've had to repent of it. I think everybody in this room has. That's why I'm so quiet. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Oh, when we turn from our wicked ways, my brother and sister, then will I hear from heaven and will forget. I'm not saying we got to live sinlessly perfect either. But what I am saying is we have choices in life that we have to make. And sometimes we as Christians don't always make the best choices. At work, whether we're in a grocery store, when our bosses are getting on our nerves and we say, I can't stand them. I just can't stand them. They're getting on my nerves. Hey, we've all done it. We're human. But that's where grace comes in, and that's where we got to go to God and say, God, help me. Help me, Father. I want to love this person. I want to pray for this person. This person needs Jesus. We've all been there. But when we turn from our wicked ways and God begins to answer our prayers like He's been answering, we're going to hear from heaven. He's going to forgive our sin and He's going to heal our land. God's not done with us. God's going to use the Word of God as sandpaper, and God's going to use the Word of God to love us, and God's going to use the Word of God to cuddle us. But God expects more out of us because there is such a strong anointing here. God expects more of us, my brother and sister. To whom much is given, I want a scripture, I'll give it to you. To whom much is given, much is required. And God's given us much in this place. God's given us much as individuals, as a body of believers. God's given us so, so much. And to whom much is given, much is required. It's not a negative thing. I know the church world and in society thinks this is a negative message, but it's really, really not. If we return to Him, He will return to us, the Scripture says. And we need to return to Him in a full-blown commitment to Jesus. Not a half-hearted one. Not I read my Bible for a week or for a day or for a month, and then I kind of get too busy with life and with cooking dinner and with things going on and dance classes. But a full-blown out commitment. And yes, I know God's grace is there. But we should desire to want to be in His presence every chance we get. Amen? Because in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's God's presence that changes you and changes me. It's His presence that changes people that we've prayed for so many years. I've gone to visit people, and everybody puts up that wall. But when you take God's presence with you, and God melts that wall, because sometimes it might just walk up hugging a person. Sometimes I might just be looking at mine and say, I really love you, brother. I just want you to know I really love you. I'm not expecting anything from you. I'm not expecting anything. I just wanted to stop by and tell you that I love you. I've done that numerous times. Well, to who? That's none of your business. Because everybody needs a hug sometime. Even Paul got down, but he wasn't out. I mean, I'll use myself. That way I won't pick on y'all. When I came back to Jesus, when I was 20 years old, we got together and we prayed and we saw God move. Now I know we've all got lives, but God wants us to get back together. And God wants us to seek His face. Because God wants to move. I really, really believe that. I really sincere believe that. God, He's going to astound you and me, I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God. When this is all said and done, we're going to say, wow. Look at what He's done with the radio station already. He's already wowed us. He's already wowed us. I'm telling you, this place is not big enough for what's ahead. Because when we begin to break forth in revival, because I really believe we are, I believe that's why God comes to us so strongly, because we hold a standard here and we're not going to lower it for anybody. When it busts forth and busts out, I don't want to be in the way. That's why I quit playing drums tonight, because I don't want it about me. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about Jesus. I want to get out. I want to be like John and decrease so He can increase. Because Jesus is coming, my brother and sister. And He's not coming back for a church that's of the world. He's coming for a glorious bride. That is without spot. And that's without wrinkle. And now I'm beginning to understand that when I was a young man, why God held such a standard in my life. And God showed me so many things. And there was some things that I couldn't do that other Christians can do. And I never understood it until now. Now I fully understand. Because there is a price for an anointing. There is a price to see God move. And not everybody's willing to pay that price. But I'm in a stage in my life where I'm ready to give it all up for Jesus. I'm at a stage in my life where I'm not threatened by the threats of my job. Because I've got a Lord and Savior that's going to take care of me. I just want to see Him move. I want to see Him touch. I want to see Him heal. And I want to see Him deliver here in America. It doesn't have to necessarily be in this building. I just want to see Brother Taylor heal, touch, and deliver in America again because He's God Almighty. And He can touch, He can heal, and He can deliver. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us living for Him. It's not my opinions or your opinions. It's what God's holy word says. It's what His holy word says. And guess what? If we're all honest, we've all let things slip. Not intentionally. There's things I've let slip, and I want some of those things back. Because I want to see God move. And I'm just going to be honest. So don't look at me like you haven't let things slip either. Because we all have if we're all truthful. And you know what? I want to see God move. I want God to rend my heart. I want Him to answer my prayers. I want Him to answer your prayers. I want to see your loved ones saved. And my loved ones saved. I fight very, very real spiritual battles to be up here. Some none of y'all know about and I would never tell y'all. But there are times I go through H-E double hockey stick. And maybe I didn't fully understand the battle. Maybe I fully didn't understand the war. But I told the Lord recently, I'm ready for war. I'm ready for whatever God wants me to do, I'm ready for war because that's what the tenacity that we're going to have to be, my brother and sister. Not, we are warriors. God needs to teach our fingers to fight and our hands to war. And I believe He wants to do that in this place. I believe as we worship, we're going to see people get saved and delivered and set free. Because God's Spirit is going to rest in here so strong and so mightily. Because we want to do what He wants us to do. Not what a man tells us to do or organization. But what the Holy Scripture tells us to do. His word does not return void, my brother and sister.
Amen.
Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. This is not a game. This is not a joke. Whatever you sow during the week, you're going to reap. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week. But the reaping's coming. The reaping's coming. The Bible says, sow to yourself in righteousness. Are you sowing in righteousness? Are you sowing in the flesh? Only you and God know. And I'm not here to look at anybody. And I'm not here to put anybody down. But we can't sow to our flesh and then come in here and expect God to move so mightily and so gloriously. Amen? We've got to sow to our spirit. We feed our stomach 3 times a day. Some of us 5 times a day. But we don't feed our spirit man sometimes. And God wants us to feed our spirit man. God wants us to be a lot like Job and desire this more than anything, because this is what's going to keep us in these end times. This is what's going to keep us, because it's not going to get any better. Perplexity is going to get worse and worse. The end times are here. Wars and rumors of war, they're worse now than they've ever been. The last time I ministered, I taught on Jesus is coming, because He is. The signs are everywhere. But I don't know the day or the time, and neither do you. But Jesus is coming. So He's getting the people ready. He's getting a people ready. That that's without spot, that that's without wrinkle, He's getting a people ready. He's not coming back for a church that's playing in the world, my brother and sister. Oh no. No, you better make your call and election sure. You better get your foot out of the world and get it all the way in the house of God. You better quit playing footsies with the world, because the world's going to cut off your feet if you keep playing with it. You can't play footsies with the world. What fellowship hath light with darkness? You can't have fellowship with the world and with devils and with Belial and come in here and try to have fellowship with Jesus and with the light. You better decide what side you're on, my brother and sister. And I don't know why this is coming so strong, but it is. You better make your calling and your election sure. You better make sure that they drew a line in the sand in the old covenant. They drew a plumb line in the sand and they said, who's on the Lord's side? So I'm going to ask you, who's on the Lord's side? You answer it between you and your God. This ain't about me. This is between you and your God. The one that bled and died for you. The one that hung up on the tree and rose on the third day. That's the one you need to determine that you're living for. You're not living for a man or for a church, but you're living for Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why God said, if my people, because it's always been God's people that have turned their back on Him. It's always been God's people that have walked away from Him. But God's always been loving, and God's always been long-suffering and had loving kindness, and have always come back and drew His people back into Himself. And every time the children of the old covenant would come back and repent, God accepted them. God would bring them in, and they would be under the blessing of the Lord. A little bit all later on, they walk away from Jesus again. Walk away from God and His covenant. That's why God said, if my people, because He knows His people well. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen? He knows me better than I know myself. He knows what I'm going to do when I walk out this door tonight, and He knows what y'all are going to do too. When we're right with God, there's a difference in the way we talk. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When we're right with God, we're pretty bold. Amen? We talk a little bit different when we're right with God. It's when we get a little bit comfortable and we start playing footsies with the world and we start talking a little bit different. Well, the Lord might heal them. No, I remember a time when you were right with God when you said the Lord would heal them. Amen? The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I don't serve a God that still can't heal in the 21st century. I don't know what type of Jesus you serve, but that ain't the Jesus I serve. I serve a God that can open the eyes of the spiritual blind and can open the eyes of the physical blind as well. Because that's the God that I serve. And that's what we long to see, is God open the eyes of the blind spiritually and physically. First, spiritually, we want to see souls saved. That's why God wants us to come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It is no different in 2 Chronicles than it is in Corinthians. It is no different. We've got to come out from among this world and we've got to be separate unto the Lord. I'm not asking you to be separate to a church. I'm not asking you to be separate to a congregation. I'm asking you to be separate for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He deserves our separation. He deserves our allegiance. He deserves us to be loyal. He deserves us to spend time with Him. When I spend time with Jesus, my kids notice a difference. And so does my wife and family. Don't amen too loud, Sherry. Because when you spend time with Jesus, everybody gets a little bit sweeter. Everybody gets a little bit nicer. Everybody gets a little bit more loving. A little bit more patient. A little bit more long-suffering. You're not as quick to want to throw somebody away when you get alone with Jesus. You can always tell the ones that are getting away from Jesus a little bit because they're the first ones to say, we ought to just crucify him and hang him. Kind of sound like some of them Pharisees and Sadducees. Y'all laughing because I'm telling the truth. We all get away from Jesus and we all get because we think we've arrived and we've not arrived. Paul never arrived. We're never going to arrive until we get there. That's why we've got to examine ourselves daily and see if we're in the faith. What are our motives? Why are we really coming to church? Why are we really here? What are our motives? Is it to be seen or to be heard? Or what is our are there our motives pure? I hope our motives are pure. Because you might fool me, and you might fool Brother Venable, but you ain't fooling God.
Amen.
And I ain't fooling God either. I'll go ahead and say that. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Including this man. Let the word of God be true and let the word of God stand and sit where it falls. And let every man be a liar. So how many are saved in this room tonight? So this applies to every single one of us in this room, does it not? So the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, so if this is God talking, and God is saying, if my people, which are called by my name, we got to quit making excuses of why we play footsies with the world. There's no reason why we play footsies with the world. You wouldn't play footsies with a rattlesnake, but you are. That venom of the world's getting on the inside of you, and you don't even realize it. The venom of sin. Sin stains the body. Sin separates you from God. Sin keeps your prayers from getting answered. I had one amen and a bunch of holy murmurs. You can't play footsies with the world, my brother and sister, and expect everything to go hunky-dory with you. You better make your calling and election sure, and you better make sure you are on the Lord's side. And there's a bunch of Christians in this room tonight. Imagine that. God would say that tonight. I'm going to get some mirrors, I'm telling you, so we can all look in the mirror and our faces in the mirror. So I can look at myself when I'm up here talking and say, are my motives pure? Because I'm in this with y'all. I'm not up here to point the finger. I want to be clean, and I believe I'm amongst a bunch of brothers and sisters that want to be clean as well. That doesn't mean we're not going to have to fight. That doesn't mean we're not going to have to go through some valleys. That doesn't mean we're going to have to make different choices. Because everything's about a choice. If Adam and Eve would have chose differently, things would have been a whole lot different in this world. But they didn't. We as Christians make choices how we spend our money. We make choices what we eat for dinner. We make choices what we eat for lunch. And we make choices how we serve God. We always put God on the back burner. We always kind of put God in the back seat. We put everything else first. Our families, our kids, our husbands, our wives. God's on the back. Why is God on the back seat? In case you get in trouble, you say, Lord, come on in the front seat. Every time we get in trouble, we all do it. Come on now, you know I'm telling the truth. Every time we get in trouble, we run to Jesus. And I think it's high time that we, the church, run to Jesus for everything every day. and let Jesus be in the front seat, and let Jesus, as Brother Venable says, drive the bus. Because when Jesus drives the bus, we won't wind up a wreck. When we try to drive the bus, I mess things up. Doug used to call me White Line Joe. When I try to drive the bus, there's dents and bruises and scrapes all over and down the bus. But when Jesus drives the bus, it's just as straight, it's just as clean, it's just as yellow and beautiful as brand new. But when we drive the bus, Lord help us. When we drive the bus, when we try to take the reins of our life, and all of us do, we all try to take the reins of our, oh, I'm in control. I've got this under control. And guess what? We find ourselves in a mess saying, Jesus, help me. Lord, get me out of this mess, please. And sometimes He lets us sit for a while because we did make a mess. Because we didn't go to Him first like we should have. Amen? Because we think we're smart. And we're really not. If we were smart, we would have got on our knees. The Bible says acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. Does it not? But we don't acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. Because we think we're smart. Because we think we got it all together. But if we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, He shall direct our paths. And sometimes we don't go to the Lord because we don't want that path He's going to direct us to. Amen? That path, I may not want to go that path the Lord wants me to go down today. But if we acknowledge Him and we be obedient, it'll go better with us. If we're just obedient, it will go a lot better with us. If we're just obedient. Would you please stand to your feet? I want everybody to come down front because we're all in this together. Everybody, please come down front. Douglas, you can just give us some worship. Because there's things I want to get right in my life. And we're going to pray. We're in this together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You better give her the whole box.
Y'all know I love every one of y'all. And it's not an easy game.